Hey, how's it going? Up to you. I'm just recording for the podcast right now, so I mean, completely up to you. Oh, not too bad, man. Not too bad. Give me a second here. Ah, there we go. Yeah, I had to put you on. I've never used Google Hangouts before, man. Doing pretty well. We're recording right now for Comic Chronicle. You go ahead and introduce
Cool.
yourself, man.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Cameron Bowen. I'm an actor from Los Angeles. You might know me from the television show Young Justice.
Yes, ladies and gents, we do
Love
have a
it.
good man with us today.
So, you're from Arizona, correct? I presume.
Here in Phoenix, Arizona is where I'm located at right now. And you said you're in LA?
Yes, sir.
Hey, not too far away, not too far. Probably about like a 6 hour drive.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I grew up in New York, and so I've never been a driver.
Oh
Um,
God.
so it can get a bit sticky here. But I make it happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you just look at the whenever you get mad, you just look at the other drivers, flick them off a little bit, and be like, classic style, just kind of yell at them, classic traffic jam style.
Sure.
So, alrighty, man. Kind of want to dive into Young Justice today. Got a few questions here for you. I know you probably get asked a lot of questions about Young Justice, though, considering how popular it is.
Yeah, but you know what? I love talking about it. I feel like I'm much more of a fan than anything else, especially since the show's been off the air. I didn't really know too much about the show before I was on it. I had to go back because when I booked it, I don't know if you know this story, but because I've talked about it a couple times, and I know Eric Lopez has as well. But we didn't know that it was Young Justice that we were auditioning for.
Oh.
It was something that they entitled Cloud Ninja. So I auditioned for, I think, Eric, who played Blue Beetle on Thunder. And I know that Jason Marsden also. There was a part for him as well. I think it was like lightning or something.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were auditioning for. We had no idea it was Young Justice. I wasn't even aware of the show at the time. And then they
Ooh.
called and said, "Hey, you booked Robin, but you can't tell anybody." And I was like, "Robin?"
It's like the boy wonder, like what? Like
And they're like, "Yeah, on Young Justice." And which is funny because I actually it grew up a little bit with Jesse McCartney in New York.
Ooh.
We did a project together when I was like, had to have been like 10, and he was like 12, called Sugar Beets. And yeah, so I knew him growing up. And so I watched the first season, and I was like, I wonder how this is going to I wonder, there already is a Robin. So I did some diving into the character of Robin, and I loved growing up. I loved Batman the Animated Series,
Oh yeah.
but I never really knew too much of the folklore when it came to Robin and how there were so many different ones, and how they like I didn't even know who Nightwing was,
Oh.
or any of the outside characters. So I started doing some research on that and learned about it, and then went in and recorded the first day, and it was wonderful. And really, ever since that first day, I've become a much bigger fan of the DC Universe and Young Justice as a whole, because it's one thing watching the first season on its own, but then getting to meet everybody and being a part of the second season, it gave me such a greater appreciation for it. So I love talking about Young Justice because like I said, I'm a fan.
Oh, I mean, you can tell in people's works when they're not a fan and they get a project like this, and you can kind of tell, but then when they're a fan, like, you can tell what's there. Like, there's a special interest that they want to do this, they want to make it great. And you bring that to the table. I'm not going to lie. You bring it to the table in it.
Thanks, man. I mean, I think it's every kid's dream, when you're watching cartoons growing up, like it's every kid's dream to be a
Oh,
superhero.
yeah.
And that was very real for me. I'm getting pretty close. Robin, you know, he's part of the young team. Hopefully one day I'll get to play one, like, you know, Batman or one of those guys. I don't know, I still might sound too young. But man, Robin has such a special place for me because, you know, he's very, or at least Tim Drake, he's very aware of his surroundings and of his responsibility.
Yeah.
And that to me is like the teenage experience, you know? And it's definitely what I went through as a teenager. I'm still going through as an adult.
I think we can all relate to that one a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, this kid, man, I really I sympathize with the character a lot. And I find myself feeling the same way a lot. And so it's pretty special.
Yeah. That tells you that you've landed the perfect role at that point. Is when you sympathize definitely. And you relate.
I've been in this game for 20 years, and it's definitely one of my favorite, definitely the most prolific.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and definitely, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say the most popular, but I mean, it's Robin. Like, that name means something, especially in today's culture. It means something. What was that?
I said some really great actors have played the role before me and after me. And I've been fortunate enough to where I've actually played the role now a couple times. And done different iterations, different Robins, and you know, they're all pretty different. You know, all encompassed under the umbrella of Robin.
Yeah. I mean, that Robin, like, it, Robin's a character where it's not set in stone what he has to be. You can bring your own version to the table, in a sense. I mean, and playing Tim Drake, it's the one that, other behind Dick Grayson, I believe Tim Drake is the one everybody loves. Like, everyone loves him as Red Robin now. Everyone loves him as Robin back in the day. It's the one that everyone, like you said, can relate to. And it's one that a lot of people do sympathize with. Like, Dick Grayson, a little bit of him growing up, being his own person and whatnot. But that's mostly everybody, they sympathize with him whenever they move out of the house from their parents. They're like, I'm Nightwing. And then they realize, like, oh, crap, I got to go back. Let me be Mom, Dad, hey. And like, when he goes back to meet Batman and stuff. So it's pretty well. A question here for you, man. What is it, what kind of characters, other than Batman, like you mentioned, would you like to play? Or at least maybe one not seen yet, do you think you'd maybe like to bring to the table?
I'm sorry, say that one more time, because it cut out a little bit.
No problem.
What characters other than Batman?
Other than Batman, would you like to play?
Anything they'll let me, honestly, because, you know, I got into this because I like to play around, and especially with voiceovers, I've found, it doesn't really matter, like, but it doesn't, as long as you have a willingness and play pretend fully, any character, any age, any gender, an animal, you know. So honestly, any role that they'll let me, I guess, aside from Batman, you know, I played a couple of villains in my life. I got to play Toyman on Young Justice, and I've done a couple of other ones. I mean, obviously, I don't know, I'd be pretty intimidating to try to do, but I'd love to try to play the Riddler at some point. Ooh. I think that's a really interesting character.
I could see it.
Yeah, I'd love to play Jarvis Tetch, Hatter.
Ooh. Ooh.
And there's a part of my favorite part about DC is that all of their villains, even the ones that have superpowers, like, they're pretty much based in reality. Like, a lot of them, you know, like, the thing I like about the Mad Hatter is, like, the mind control has to do with the physical hat, you know? And the Riddler, you know, he's just a guy with a complex about his intelligence and about, you know, being bullied as a kid, organic, and extremely fun to play around with. So I would love to play one of those great villains one day.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, he Riddler would be really good. But if I remember right, I don't know, have they introduced Mad Hatter? Because I mean, there is a season 3 that has been announced. Do you know anything about that, or maybe can you give a first scoop?
I know nothing about season 3.
Nothing. Wow.
I mean, I know exactly what you guys know. I'm talking about like the guy who played it in the video games. I forget his. It's like Peter Mackin.
I think that sounds about right.
It was something like that, and he played it very childlike. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing research for Toy Man, I looked into a bunch of these different bad guy things, because I think it's important when you're playing a role like that to not think of yourself as bad. You know, to see yourself as the hero.
Makes a great villain. I mean, that's what honestly makes a great villain.
Yeah, and so. I looked at all the different performances over the past couple of years, and man, there were some good ones. And we're so fortunate right now, because these things are only getting bigger and bigger. You know,
yeah.
I remember Static Shock and Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Justice League, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like now, because we've got the big superhero movies in theaters. We're getting to delve further and further out into the universes of these huge comics, and some really cool characters are popping up that I had no idea existed.
Oh yeah, there's plenty that are in the woodworks, like C and D list characters that are appearing in cartoons and then also like in live action shows and whatnot lately.
Yeah.
You never would have figured you'd see Cupid anywhere or something like that. You never would have figured. Like in Count Vertigo.
Out of my realm. I'm not sure who Cupid is. I'm assuming it has something to do with Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she does. It's like a little summed up version of her is she's a girl who's in love with Green Arrow, and she kind of has a Cupid little vibe to her, and uses heart shaped arrow tips and whatnot, and she tries to make him fall in love with her and everything. I can't remember who portrays her. Huh? Yeah, it's on Arrow. I don't remember what season she's in. I know she was recently on a new episode, but it was this one and done episode. She's a pretty good villain, but it's like villains like that, like CD, and even E-list characters are making it in. Like, you'd see a Blue Devil, I think, was in Young Justice Season 1, I want to say. Like, you saw a glimpse of him, and people were like, who's that? Like, what's that do? He's blue with horns and a trident. What the hell is this?
That's so cool, though. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, we've got the core characters that are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you get to meet someone new, you know, especially someone who, you know, has such personality like that, it's very exciting, especially, you know, for me, because I'm 28 years old, but I'm kind of reliving my childhood every time I watch one of these shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And especially one that you're, like, maybe in, you're like, I was part of this. My childhood.
Yeah.
It's like a thing off
it's
the bucket
really
list.
It's surreal, man, sometimes to watch an episode that I'm not in. And hear the voice talent that they got, and you know, just have a new appreciation every time for Greg and for Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Thomason, the voice director.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And I guess it would suck if I was in a show that I didn't like, but it just so that I got to be on one that's pretty great all around.
Yeah, and hugely popular with the fans. I mean, you could be one that's great, but then fans don't like it, or very few will. But I mean, it is accepted by all ages, by so many people. Like, you walk into a comic store or something like that, you talk about Young Justice, everyone will circle around, and you get like a party.
You know what's weird is I went to the national championship in Florida this year,
mm-hmm.
College football.
Yeah.
And I was with my buddy, and there was this girl that we were talking to, and she was like, "So what do you do?" And I said, "I'm a voice actor." And then my buddy was an on-camera actor, and so we were talking, and then this guy kind of like turned around and looked at me, and then young guy, probably your age, and we kept watching the game, and then he turned around, and he said, "Are you Cameron Bowen?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Is your name Cameron?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "I'm a big fan of Young Justice." And I was like, wow. And like at a football game, of all places, you know, like obviously it's a stadium full of, you know, hundreds or I don't know how many people.
Thousands. Yeah, who knows?
But just to be in my section or whatever, and it happens more than you'd think, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
Because part of the thing about being a voice actor, especially when I was growing up as a kid, was, you know, you don't get the fame and acclaim that on-camera actors do. And I did on-camera a bunch. And, you know, you could do a small episode of anything really on camera. And there's you go to conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, you know, the VO actors that I idolized, I had no idea what they looked like, you know? Nowadays, you've got the internet and...
you Google.
I'm sure that's how it happened, was he probably just Googled me on his phone, but it was really surreal, man. I enjoy that kind of stuff. I'm not embarrassed to say that, like, anytime anybody wants to say hi to me or tell me that they like what I'm doing, or anytime anything I've ever done is on TV, I'll watch it. I feel like magic to me, man. I mean, it's like I said, I watched these things growing up, and it's what I wanted to do, and I sometimes really can't believe I'm getting to do it.
Yeah, it's a dream job, and you know, to get noticed like that too, I bet you there's some voice actors out there that are probably like, how the hell does he do that? Because they probably never get that at all. I mean, maybe they'd get like, hey, are you on this show, but by name? That's pretty damn amazing. And the fact is too, you're acceptant of it and everything else like that, and like you want it, and like you talk to people about it and whatnot, it makes you a good man. Because I know a lot of people who have met voice actors and other actors now, and they're like, hey, I like you on the show, and they basically go tell them to pop off. But if you're, like, accepting that, like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that plenty of times. People are like, oh, I talked to this one guy, and he was really rude and just an ass and whatnot, like, even at Comic-Cons. I'm like, really?
Really? You know, I will say, in my experience, one of the things that I love about voice acting in comparison to theater or to on camera is it really does feel like such a wonderful community. It feels like everyone's kind of rooting for each other, and all the actors kind of want the best guy for the job.
Yeah.
I know, of course, there's black sheep in every industry, but it does feel like, you know, when you're up for a job on camera, show, there's so much on the line, and okay. Or for a television series, you want to get it, obviously, because you want to go, but it's usually because you want to go in and play with your friends. Not because it's going to change your life, other than you want the opportunity to go in and play around. And so I've kind of found that, you know, this community of actors really is welcoming, not only of their peers, but also new people. You know, it's happening all the time where, like, some guy you haven't heard of gets on one show and then he's on 10 shows, you know?
It's like all of a sudden he's famous and it's like, where'd this guy come from? And you're looking at it like, wow. You know, you actually look at him, he's good.
There are some guys, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass people, but, like, you know, guys who come off YouTube or who made their own stuff on the internet and put it out there. And now they're playing, you know, leads on television shows or cool bit roles or, you know, you'll hear them on a commercial or in a video game or something. And they didn't do it the traditional way like I did. You know, like I came from on camera and I was fortunate to do animation as a kid. And so I didn't have those struggles of breaking into it as much. And I found that, like, the VO community is very welcoming of any shape or size or background.
That's actually very good, because you don't hear that much in, like, different aspects of work and things that you work in, and it's nice to hear that it's actually a community. It's not just a bunch of people there like, all right, we're here to act, here's a paycheck, all right, but it's actually the community and kind of like a family. You don't get that much. I mean
not to talk ill of on camera acting or theater, because I still do those things.
You don't want to talk bad about them,
you know. Those things kind of came a little easier to me. Just when I was growing up, I have 5 siblings, and they all did it. And so I did a lot of theater. And the on-camera stuff kind of just kept coming. Like, it just – I kept getting the opportunities, and thankfully I worked a lot. And with VO, it was a little tougher to break in – and work consistently. So I'm very grateful to all the people around me and all the people who have given me advice, and I've taken a bunch of classes, and there's a guy, Richard Horvitz, who he was on the show Angry Beavers, and he was on the show Grim Adventures of Bill and Mandy, and
double big hitters right there, actually.
Yeah, and Invader Zim, and he, I took his class a few years ago, and I really credit him with kind of giving me the perspective to be able to continue my career in this facet, which is something I really want. You know, I'd love to do this for the rest of my life, and I think that's very possible, specifically in this industry, because, yeah. You know, with theater, your legs might give out. You know, uh-huh. you might outgrow a certain role.
Yeah. You could have a serious bodily injury, like you could have a scar, and they're like, "Well, we can't use you no more."
Yeah.
It's rough.
Voiceovers, you know, I'm hoping I get to play 16, 17 for the rest of my life.
That would be amazing. Like, look at the big guys. Like, you got Kevin Conroy. How long has he been doing it? You got, like,
I mean, he's a legend, man.
Yeah, he's the legend. Like, is he like a goal maybe to work towards? Like maybe I can be like Kevin Conroy one day in this business. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's so funny because you hear about people getting typecast. You know, you hear about like, and that happened to me on camera. It was like I felt like I was going out for the same roles, but with VO, I mean, you know, gosh, I'll do Robin as many times as they ask me to.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I think that's how he feels too with Batman. You know, it just seems like. You know, he's on Justice League. Do you watch Justice League Action?
I have not yet. I've heard very good things about it, though. I've been meaning to kind of binge watch it. Oh.
And, you know, obviously, those terrific Batman games.
Oh, the Arkham games, yeah.
With Conroy and Hamill. I mean, obviously, if I could have a career like that guy and consistently work for the next 25 years, that would be the dream, man. And I hope so. I think that this industry is more about hard work and showing up on time and, being prepared and being a nice guy, an opportunity than it is about like, you know, oh my God, this guy, you know, has this crazy talent that no one else can do. I mean, you've heard some of these voice actors. Everybody can, you know, a lot of guys can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the world has changed also to where if they want, an old man and they want a little girl, they're not going to cast the same voice actors do both.
No.
So there's more roles than ever. So, hopefully I can be like Conroy and do this for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, Kevin Conroy, if you're listening, give this man some pointers on what to do. Like, hey, take him underneath your wing. He's playing Robin. You're Batman. Come on.
Hey.
It's meant to be. he may be listening. Who knows? I mean, that'd be luck.
I did a game a few years ago where I played Robin and he played Batman. I never got to meet him. But that in itself was very surreal.
Oh, I bet. It's probably like he's on the same – he's in a sense, you're like, he's on the same screen as me. Oh, my God.
It's true. I mean, we interact in the game, but I never actually met him.
Oh. Well, you never know. I mean, don't knock it out just yet. I mean, you never knock it out. You never know if you're going to run into him on a lot or if you're going to run into him in a studio or something like that.
And I'm totally shameless. I would go up and tell him how much I love him.
Oh, I bet you gets it a lot. He's probably like, who are you? He's going to think you're some random fan. He's going, who the hell are you? You're like, I do Robin bullshit.
Essentially, I am.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of a pointers, man. For anybody who's listening that would want to maybe get into voice acting, if you're going to believe it or not, your host, the host, myself, is actually looking into getting a voice act and they're going to start classes in April. What would be some helpful pointers to me and to anyone else out there who'd maybe want to get into the business?
Well, I was talking to my buddy earlier today about this, and as an actor, I think it's important to surround yourself with people that will help you grow as a person.
Okay.
So we were talking about this very thing earlier, not just voice acting, but acting in general. And mm-hmm. For voice acting, I think it's important to come at it from an actor's standpoint as opposed to a funny voice standpoint.
Okay.
Because those are the guys that work the most. Because it really won't matter if you can do Kermit the Frog if they hand you a script and you don't know how to break it down and you don't know how to work with other actors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important. I think improv is really important because I can't tell you how many times I've come in and the script has been great, fine, but it doesn't sound right because it's not your voice. You know, it's not coming out of your mouth. And so, you know, you'll end up improvising with other actors and that's what will end up going on.
Ooh, you know? Okay.
And so I think that's really important. Plus, it gives you a real strict sense of playing pretend and looking foolish or sounding foolish and okay with it, falling down and picking yourself back up and know that that's just part of the process.
Mm.
You know, like I said, I didn't have the traditional in to voiceovers because I just started doing them when I was a kid and then I was able to kind of transition into an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like getting an agent or that kind of thing, I'm not as familiar with that whole thing because like I said, when I was a kid, I was really fortunate to get cool opportunities and then brought on to stuff. And then as I got older, I just kept those relationships going.
Yeah.
I've actually been with the same agency for 20 years, which is really a cool thing that they've kept me around.
Yeah, you're like family now to them. You're just like, we know that man. He's like our son.
Yeah.
You've seen him prosper.
And so I think that it's important to not take it too seriously, but to remember that the guys that everybody wants to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, always be grateful. Show up on time. Know your lines. You know, the basic stuff, because that's the stuff that can get in the way when you get a real opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you want all your ducks in a row. When a real opportunity comes along, you want the only reason if you don't book it is that you weren't right for the role, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that you can control, you want to control it and then let go so that you can go in and play around. I would say, you know, find a class or find a teacher that you like that speaks to you. Like I said, I went to Richard Horvitz. I've been to a bunch, but that was the guy that really clicked for me.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a bunch out here in L.A. There's a bunch in New York. I'm not sure about other places, but of course, everybody does Skype sessions. And read, as you know, there's all these books and stuff out there of guys that D. Bradley Baker on his website has a whole page devoted to how, you know, what's the best way to become a voice actor. There's all this information out there that didn't used to be, you know, not to sound old, but because we have the internet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Got this amazing resource. Yeah, I mean, obviously, L.A. is the place to be.
Yeah.
I go back and forth from New York and L.A., and every time I'm in New York, it's great, but you don't get nearly as many opportunities because the industry is out here. You know, the animation industry and video game industry. There's some in New York, but most of it is out in L.A., and so, you know,
well, I'm glad
L.A. is kind of where you need to be. I know a lot of voice actors who live in, like, Nashville or live in other parts of the country, Chicago and stuff, and they do it, but those guys are already
they're big timers. Yeah, they're the big wigs kind of sort of thing. They're like, these are the professionals. Like, well, not professionals.
But... if they need to fly out for something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I'm in Phoenix, then, because I'm close to L.A., like, only a few-hour drive. That's fine. It's not like I got to fly out
exactly,
or anything
yeah.
like that. Oh, that's a relief. I'm not going to lie, though. It was pretty inspirational stuff. I'm not going to lie. I'd probably re-listen to this episode on the podcast just to hear your voice and, like, your inspirational kind of quotes and whatnot to help me carry along. I mean, I start in April for me and anybody else out there. I don't know if they're starting or... whichever, but maybe sometime after I take the classes, get hooked up, maybe I'll see you in a studio sometime. Who knows?
Hey, hopefully, man. Hopefully I'm still kicking.
Yeah.
You know, I like, that's the thing, is we're all in this kind of together, and we're all at similar places, you know. I'm just trying to get my next job. I'm just trying to figure out a way to have them let me play again.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't think you lose that. I think that that's something that kind of sticks around, is we all just want to get in a room together and play around.
And and just have fun and kind of like be a family, be friends and something like that. Like, have your community. That's something you like dream for at that point. It is something you just dream for. Damn. I want to ask you though some more Young Justice questions. Just one or two more for you. Don't want to take up too much of your time.
Sure.
What was probably the most funniest moments you ever had in a studio with anybody, if you had one?
It's funny. Sometimes, like I said, the little things will get in your way. Mm. And I grew up in Manhattan, and as you can tell, I don't really have an accent because I actually went to a speech pathologist when I was a kid.
Oh.
For multiple things, for being able to speak correctly, so that I wasn't going to strain my voice.
Yeah.
And but also to lose any type of accent I was developing, because at the time, I guess it was important to have an indiscernible accent.
Mm-hmm.
But things do creep in every so often, and there'll be words that I learned when I was a kid that I haven't used that much, mm-hmm. or words that I pretty much only use in that city. One of them was, I don't even know how I said it before, but one of them was like tourist. And apparently that's not how people say it. They say tourist, which it's so funny. I mean, it's so small and it mm-hmm. doesn't even make sense in my head. But that was one of the things. Was I have a line in episode, I think five or six mm-hmm. of the second season, where I say, "You're a tourist from the future," and I kept saying, "You're a tourist from the future." and so
everyone kind of give you crud on that.
I had some pretty good times.
Oop. Sorry, yeah, it was a cut out there, my bad. I can imagine that people like looking at you like, does he realize what he's saying? Like, where is this coming from?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Were people like looking at you like, wait a second, like what's going on here? Like, what?
I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out again, and this has got to be this app, but I'm sorry, one more time, what did you say?
Were people like giving you kind of like funny looks and whatnot, and when you said it, or is it kind of like, hey, we're just going to roll with it?
Like, again, it's such a minute detail, we were laughing, the voice director, Jamie Thompson, we were all laughing about it, because it's like, especially now, like, if you get a certain amount of stuff under your belt, mm-hmm. anything that you're unique at, is usually a strength. Anyway, you look at Christopher Walken. I mean, everybody knows, you do a bad impression of Christopher Walken, and everyone knows who you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something else. My favorite times in the studios, hands down, were, the last episode, mm-hmm. we had so many people in there. I mean, it was like, and that's the great thing about Young Justice, is that they get, all the actors in the scene together, and then we do the scene in chronological order,
okay.
as if it were a play. Whereas with other shows, and definitely with video games, it's you at a mic in a booth by yourself, and on the other side of the glass are the producers and the director, and it's fun, but it's a very different experience. And one of the cool things about Young Justice is that they really strive to get good actors. If I can say that,
I can say they're all good. I mean, what was that?
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
I think it's the Google thing. I can say they're all good voice actors, so you're not knocking them in any sense here. Don't worry on that.
Yeah. And so some of my favorite times were when we were all in the booth together. Lacey Chabert doing her lines backwards.
Mm-hmm.
She had to do the. I'm trying to think what else. Jason Marsden is a riot.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful when you get that many talented, creative people in a room that you stay on track.
Yeah.
And you actually do the job. And but yeah, I mean, here's hoping that I'm a part of season 3, because it would be a dream come true.
Oh, you know, I'm crossing fingers, man.
I miss the show.
Yeah, I think that you'll come back, but if they're doing a fast-forward thing again, my best guess is you'll probably come back as Red Robin, which is kick-ass.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my God, that would be amazing. I mean, maybe if I'm done with schooling in time, maybe I could be a part of season 3. I mean, you'd see me come in and maybe shed a tear if then, because I'd be like, I'm here. Like,
hey,
you're a hero villain. Like,
fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah, me too. I would take a pay cut. They're like, we're only going to pay you a little bit of money to do it. You're going to do it? Yeah.
You know, I think, like, everybody who does this job would pretty much do it for free.
Oh, yeah.
But it is nice when they pay you.
Yeah, it is nice. It's like a little nice thing. It's like, here, you did a good job. Here's some this.
Well,
like,
I mean,
what?
You know, we all need to make a living.
Yeah, and, damn bills.
Yeah. And thankfully, we have unions to kind of set the standards.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it would really be a dream come true, man. Because, like I said, I've done a lot of I've been fortunate to do a lot of cool stuff in my career, but this was one that I felt it's definitely near the top, because not only was it something that I was able to kind of throw my heart into and work really passionately on, but it's such a prolific character that makes me feel, and like I've said before, I feel like my 10-year-old self would give me a high five for this one.
You know?
And that's always cool, because I'd like to think that this show will be around for a while, even when it goes off the air. You know, we've kind of seen it, that the fans kind of kept it around.
Yeah.
That brought it back.
I signed the petition for it. I was there. I signed every petition. Binge watched it when they said Netflix was doing the ratings and that on there for. I was like,
anything
for this show. Like, I grew up with the show, and my sister binge watched it with me. She's like, it's a cartoon. What's it gonna be? And she watched the first season. She's like, oh my god. And she watched the second season. She's like, this is amazing. Like, where has this been?
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Oh yeah.
And you know, because I came in on the second season, like I said, you know, and I was able to kind of binge watch myself, you know, the first season before I went in to record. I had the same experience you did, where I came at it as a fan. You know, I watched the first episode because I needed to know the reference. But then I kept watching it because I liked it.
Yeah,
you know?
So one of those, like, actually, oh my god.
I'm starting to watch the first season again. I think I'm on episode 10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently again, just because
it's good.
It holds up, man.
Yeah, season 2 holds up. I've been watching that lately before this interview and whatnot. I was watching a bunch of episodes this morning. I was like, let me start watching this again. I watched a couple episodes. Next thing I know, I was like episode 6. I was like, wait, what?
I think I'm trying to think which one's my favorite. Is episode 6 the one? My favorite one is the one where Robin and Blue Beetle and Impulse and Arsenal break into the Reach.
Oh, at Smallville. I can't remember. Yeah, there was Smallville and there was the LexCorp Farms with the Reach and whatnot. Yeah, that was a good episode. You did.
I mean, I'm a little biased, but
hey, you know, it's good to be. I mean, you're human. Why not? You're not Reach or anything like that. You're human.
Yeah. So. But man, I mean, you know, you talk about surreal. That was the first time I had the pleasure of meeting Phil Lamar.
Oh.
And I had to work with him, you know, like, that was a dream come true. And I got to meet Phil Lamar, and then, you know, obviously before that, but also work with Phil Lamar and Jason Marsden. You know, these two guys, I mean,
you look at them like, can I buy your drink?
They're legends. I mean, they're just like, you know, they're legends. Not to mention pretty much everybody on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Is either a legend or a future legend.
Yeah, on the way. Like well, someone speaking right now can be a future legend, too. I wonder.
Yeah, I hope so, man. You know, I feel like over and over again, you know, it's just whatever I have in my past is just sort of fuel for my future. And, and I look at things I've accomplished, and I'm proud of them. But I'm right now, I'm really looking towards the future, because, like I said, there's more opportunities than ever.
Yeah.
And so I really do hope to see you out here, man. I hope to see you in the booth.
Oh, like I said, you'd be seeing me like tissues for Dakota, please. He's gonna need at least two or three here, because he's fanboying.
Yeah,
we got another fanboy in the booth. Sweet. Well, thank you, man, for taking your time out today. Where can people reach you at so they can maybe send you a little tweet of like, you did a good job, like, thank you and whatnot, yeah. Like on Twitter, Instagram?
I'm on Twitter, just my name, Cameron Bowen. I have a Facebook, Cameron Bowen, and Instagram, Cameron Bowen.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple. Like no 97, no like number. Yeah,
you know, when I first got on Twitter, I didn't really understand what it was.
Yeah, a lot of people like that.
I got on it because my sister was on it, and she's a year and a half younger than me, and I knew that she's an actress as well, and I knew that she was tweeting guys. And not in like a flirtatious way. Being an older brother, I just was very protective, and so I got on Twitter so I could look at her timeline. I picked like a really silly like nickname with a bunch of numbers in it, and then when I started getting serious with social media, I looked to see if Cameron Bowen was available, and it was.
Wow. If you weren't her brother, you'd be filing charges. There'd be charges filed against you right now. There would be some serious things going on.
Yeah.
But I'm a brother myself. My sister, Cheyenne Morgan, shout out to her. She's like she's 3 years younger than me, and I kind of like go through and I look on there too, like, what is she doing?
I trust her now. She's 27 now, and she's got a dude. And you having a sister that's close in age, you know, you got to watch your friends too.
Because the amount of times growing up, I would hear back in Illinois, where I'm from, in Northern Illinois, everyone, especially with like the short shorts, the cowgirl shorts and whatnot, and tank tops, everyone would be like, dude, your sister's hot. I'd be like, really? To my face, you're saying this?
I know. Yeah.
But thank you, man, for taking your time, Cameron. I love the show. Love you, man. You're a great guy. Don't let anybody tell you any different here, all right? And if anybody says.
It was awesome talking to you.
No problem, man. I'll give you a shout out on Twitter so that you can get the link and listen to it. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But hey, thank you, man, very, very much. And here's to season 3. I don't have any booze with me right now, but we can clank glasses in our minds.
Wonderful, man. Yeah. Very excited for season 3.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. And catch you later, all right? You have a good one.
Buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Comic Chronicle. As always, I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, society's mutant / metahuman. And thank you guys very, very much. And stay classy, Young Justice.